This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
I have so many times, Father God, our reflections that we feel that you are distant and that you actually, you forgot about us. But I thank you this morning as we gather, Lord, that you want to come and bring your presence, Father God, and come and settle that in hearts this morning, Father God, that you haven't forgotten. And when we sing you're a good father, Lord, I come and thank you that you want to change people's hearts, not merely their minds. Thank you, Father God, that people might forget the words this morning, Father God, the sermon, the songs, but I thank you, Father God, that that would ring true this week, Lord, that you are good. You are good. Even Jesus said, don't call me a good. There's only one who is good, and that is our Father. And we thank you that that is how we come to you this morning, Father God, as a good father, Lord. As one that truly understands. What a privilege, Lord. What a privilege, Lord, to come as that. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning, everybody. It's awesome to see you all in person again and to be here. Thanks, Rikin, Adrian. And for the first time in my international teaching career, welcome to the live audience. It's only big international pastors that can always say that on Sundays. But I think there's a few people streaming in, so welcome for those who are not here this morning and streaming in as well. I don't want to keep you long this morning. I simply trust that you will leave filled with the knowledge of God. It's one of my favorite words that I've been for the last year, but it's just been something that really changed my perception of even approaching the Bible. I started reading a book on Psalm 23 and talks about, obviously, the Lord being our shepherd, and the second line says, you shall not want. And the whole book is dedicated to that. And, you know, the question is, we all can probably recite it from our heads, but the question is whether it's ingrained into our hearts. You know, when we say that the Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want, do we truly understand that? And the book goes on to say, basically, the key to a life of overflowing, a life of total fulfillment, and a life where you can live without lack, is if you have the knowledge of God. And this is what I've got this morning, a privilege to share, just to say, let's take one step closer to a more fulfilling knowledge of God, because that is truly the only way to have a life of overflowing. So I'm going to have a bit of a spelling lesson. If I made a spelling mistake, please tell me afterwards and not in a sermon. Total backfire if you call your sermon spelling lessons and you made a mistake. You may go on. So this morning, we're going to start off with how is church spelled. So church is spelled, according to me, as you. Simple fact, without you, there's no church. That's not a deep theological theory. It's just a very practical one. Just to make sure everybody's awake. Did I say? Okay. One or two smiles. I got everybody going there. All right. So that's the very nice pastor sermon always. When you remove the you from church, you don't have church anymore. And that's awesome why we can again gather this morning with the state of emergency coming to an end and the fact that we can actually get together as church. Whether it was here or at some other place, I don't think that really matters. Let's go to our next spelling. Church is spelled S-O-U-P. Few likes this spelling one. So a lot of people feel that, you know, that is church. Jesus said that when I was hungry, you fed me. We all know that scripture. So that's how you spell church, because we need to be there for the poor. And if you're not there, then you're not doing church. Because, you know, there's one of those scriptures that says we need to feed the poor. It's actually there. How exactly must it look? Must it be in the community? Must you merely give money? Church is spelled coffee. Ay, klomp amens wat hier opgaan. For a lot of people, it's, you know, get that singing part over and, you know, the guy talking in front, just make it quick because I need some quality coffee. And the worst is if the church doesn't have good coffee. Because, I mean, what then do you really come for at the end, you know? Because, I mean, but that's how a lot of people spell church, you know, coffee. Let's look at our next slide. Building. I've had the privilege to be at that building. It's the St. Peter's in Rome. And then there's a church in Tanzania under a tree. For a lot of people, church is spelled building. Because if you've got a massive building and if you've got the biggest one or the grandest one, you know, this is a really a big part of what church is. And if you don't have that, then, you know, are you still doing church? That is a good question. Yet we have people in this continent that sit under a tree, and I truly believe that they are doing church. Church is spelled seminar. Seminar on having a better marriage. Seminar on how to raise kids in a godly way. Seminar on how to have the best life that you have ever wanted, Auntie Doris. Amen. There's a lot of seminars, and a lot of people keep on going to seminars because that's what you do in church. I mean, just the next seminar, and this is church. So where am I going with this morning? A lot of us can sit here this morning and talk exactly what they feel this is church. And if you worship in such a way, or if you've got such a building, or if you do soup kitchens, you know, that is truly what church is about. But at the end of the day, you know, those are all things that can be outflows that you can have or you can't have. That is not the determining factor whether you have a church or not. We are not gathered here because we need to give soup to people. Whether we give soup or not will not determine whether we are the body of Christ. Whether we have the biggest building or the smallest building or sit in a tent outside will not determine whether we are the body of Christ. Whether we have good coffee or bad coffee will not determine how many people we have in church, JP. Don't feel pressured. The point is this. We gather here for something else. We're not gathered here this morning because of all of those factors. Church is spelled R-O-M-A-N. The Roman Catholic, some people spell it as Baptist, Southern Baptist, NG Kerk, VGK, Charismatic, Pentecostal. A lot of people hang on to that because our church is, you know, Pentecostal, and our church is charismatic, and our church is so, and, you know, at the end of the day, that's not really what it's about, and that is irrelevant. And when that becomes a lot more important at the core of what church is, maybe that is what why church is not fulfilling what it needs to be fulfilling in this town. And I say that not as a critique to any of the churches mentioned there. I mean, we're sitting here together as a group of people that need to answer that very same question. Do we not attach so much to certain rituals even? I could have probably spelled church as well like that. In our church, this is how you do it. You know, I don't really always see in the Bible a lot of things that this is how you must do it or not must do it. I do see that you must walk in the Spirit and follow the Spirit, and that is something that you cannot always see, and that is something that you need to, on a daily basis, be dependent on God. So therefore, to say that you follow certain rituals, then I ask the question, but are you then truly following the Spirit, or are you just following a set of rules which you trust God will bless? Let's go on to the next slide. Now I want to get to more core things of what I feel church is really about. And I feel, irregardless of the previous slides, these things is what I would feel need to be in church. It's not a real negotiable for me. These are the things that church is really built upon. And then I'm going to almost end off with what I really feel that I want to send you out with in this week. Now there's a key scripture. According to me, if you want to really have the DNA or the blueprint of what a church needs to be looked at, how does a church really need to look? Acts 2 verse 42 says the following. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And it goes on and it says that and they added to the church daily. Fellowship is how I would spell church. A group of people coming together, united in the name of Jesus Christ, to have fellowship. What's fellowship? One gentleman said beautifully once to me, it's a few fellows in a ship. That's basically what it is. It's people coming together and just having a good time. One of the most fond memories that I have of cell groups at university, we had a friend of ours in church, Werner, who's also a pastor, and he nailed it for me, you know, because you know why? When we got together, I was always like, you know, let's start cell and pray, and he's like, stop. Who are you going to choose for the Springboks this weekend? I'm like, what? He's like, we're busy with God's things, and you want to ask me who's the Springboks, you know, stop being idolizing rugby. What was he doing? He was just saying, you know, let's just be, you know, because that will be the natural outflow. Just come here together, because ultimately we are gathering in the name of Jesus Christ. But he just wanted to say, you know, that fellowship is just finding that person right in front of you before you jump on the program train. Just come and be and find out, well, no, I don't really like the Springboks. Or, you know, actually, can we not actually put down, you know, it's a cool game. Let's put down who's going to start for Man United this weekend, you know, or Arsenal, Francois, whatever. The point was just for me, it's so important that we don't lose that element of church, of truly fellowshipping, of truly coming together. And that's why I've loved church the last few Sundays that we could have church, that we keep it short in a sense, and we just sit and really hear what's going on. Because I believe if you've got this amazing pastor standing at the top and preaching for an hour and a half, and then everybody must leave, then that element is a little bit lacking. If we truly don't come together and hear, but what's on your heart? You know, Adrian, I believe also you've got something to contribute this morning. Malcolm, I believe God has stalked to you this week, and you can share that with somebody this morning. And it's not about what I want to bring this morning. Let's go on to the next slide. Light. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. We come together as a group of believers, but if there's no outflow, then we're also missing church. It's not about a Sunday morning gathering. Sunday morning is the halftime break in the middle of a match to say, how's everybody doing? Are you well? And then I said, okay, tomorrow church is starting. Now I send you out. You are the light to this world. And I trust when you leave this morning, that will be embedded in your heart. And then lastly, the third thing for me, which is a non-negotiable, is you spell church as Jesus. If we don't preach Jesus, how can we be called the church? The church is the body of Christ. Our cornerstone, if we remove Jesus, the spiritual building will collapse because Jesus is the cornerstone. It says in Ephesians 1 verse 22, and he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all. That is simply a non-negotiable, and we are here gathered today because of Jesus Christ, because he loved us first, and that is why we are here today. And if there's not a focus, and that's why if I can summarize the three main things for me that church is about, it's about people coming together, getting a message, filling and getting their hope in Jesus Christ, and then going out. That is a very simplified method for me, but if I can really truly say what I see in Scripture, that is the core almost of why a church has a place in this world still. And if we are not fulfilling that, then I don't think we have a place. And that ultimately has a lot of outflows, and there may be seminars, and there will be soup kitchens, and there will be a building or under a tree, but those things are not essential, and we shouldn't get caught up in those things. And it's so easy for us many times not to focus on the true heart aspect of what God wants to talk about, because we want to rather focus on the building of a soup or a coffee. But God is asking us, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. And what a challenge. Those are the things that really struck for me as what is the foundation of a church. But this morning, what I believe and what I want to leave you with is church is spelled H-O-P-E, hope. And I think that is one message. If the church cannot deliver this, specifically in these times, as so many times in the history of this world, then I don't feel we have a place anymore. Because ultimately what people are looking for at this point of time in life is hope. Because there is every second message that is coming to your way is hopelessness. And basically you must just give over and fall in the tide and just let drift down the river and, well, we'll see what's at the end of this river. But don't try to swim back. Don't try and make an effort. And, you know, I just really feel God was speaking to me this week about hope. Because that is what people are looking for. And when we engage people, can we deliver that hope? And is that hope truly settled in your heart? I was Googling yesterday and I read this thing. It says, hope is commonly used to mean a wish. Its strength is the strength of the person's desire. How many of you have seen these TV ads? I know you have something inside of you that can stand up. You know? And it's all that that is focused on. Yes, it is hope, and it gives you a moment of inspiration. Just like you're watching your favorite team that suddenly wins, suddenly you feel it's going to be okay. You know, Arsenal finally won a match. It's going to be okay. Suddenly you feel it's fine. The world's a better place. But it's such a temporary thing because it's based 100% on your emotions. And because a outward circumstance temporarily changed. Yet the Bible offers something different. The Bible is the confident expectation of what God has promised, and its strength is in his faithfulness. Look at his next scripture. This is one scripture that we love because we believe it's something that was spoken over our boy. The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. Why do I connect this with hope? In these times, everybody is telling you messages that you just want to shrivel back, and as I said, just slowly float down the river and not stand up. Yet the righteous, the wicked, they flee when no one even pursues them. But the righteous, they stand up and say, no, 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 I'm as bold as a lion. But importantly, it says, who is as bold as the lion? The confident pastor and the man that knows everything. No, no, the righteous, meaning the person that's in right standing with God. The person that says, I am not dependent on my own works or what I did. I 100% place my confidence in Jesus Christ and what he's already done. And when you are that person, the righteous person, you're as bold as a lion. Now, how is that not hope for people out there? Because people are asking you, but what's going to change? And is the economy going to change? And what's going to happen here? And yes, I would love to tell people that things are going to change, but I truly don't actually know. And I don't know what's going to happen. And therefore, there's this hope that we can deliver to people that is not dependent on what the president is going to announce at 3 o'clock on a Friday afternoon. Because we don't control that. We have no control over that. And therefore, our hope should not be in anything else except the finished work of Jesus Christ. And as we gather as a church, we focus on those three things. On the fellowship of people here. On focusing on Jesus Christ and his finished work. And then going out and being that light to the world. And may we and may we that be also our cornerstone of our church as we continue in these next times. You can go to the next scripture. And here's the challenge actually set to us in the scripture. 1 Peter 3 verse 15 says, but in your hearts set Christ apart and as holy, acknowledging, giving him the first place in your lives as Lord. Always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks you to account for the hope that is in you. And that is our challenge. And that's what I really want to leave you with. And I trust when we go out here this morning that nobody will leave without having settled what that hope is in their hearts. Because people are going to confront you and they might not actually come to you this week and say, please, I need some hope. Share it with me. But they will come to you with a situation that's impossible. And then they're going to basically ask you, but what do you say? And that is what the Bible is saying. Then you need to account to them why you actually have hope. And why can you actually say you want to pray for me and you want to say that you've got some hope that is anchored somewhere? Because I'm telling you the facts, and the facts tell me that there is no hope in the situation. And all of you sitting here have had situations in their lives that has declared hopelessness. Hopelessness is that thing that says, irregardless of what you do, it's not going to change the circumstances. And there is a lot of people that find themselves at that place. And what a privilege as Christians and as the body of Christ, the church, that we can be advocates to say, you know, there is hope. There is still hope in these times. And I feel really and truly that this is something that we need to just trust for in this season specifically. It's just to be that for people. And just to say, you know what? I hear what you're saying. But my friend, there's hope. And there's hope because Jesus changed my life. And he is the anchor of my soul. And I can't give you a long theoretical message right now, but I can just sit here and be with you, and I'm declaring to you that there is hope. And I'm trusting God that that same peace that he has given to me in my life, that is not based on my outward circumstances, but on the fact that he is the anchor of my soul will now flow into your life. And there's nothing greater of experiencing that and sitting with somebody and praying for them and seeing how their lives are changed due to the fact that you can simply just witness to the fact what God is doing. Because we cannot change people's lives, but we can simply be there. And that is what God requires of us, is simply just to be there. Let's end off with this next scripture. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. How beautiful is that? As you spend time with God, start thinking differently from it. Because the more you are anchored, the more you press into that place, God says that hope is going to start overflowing. Isn't that so exciting? And the point is, we can't share that hope because it doesn't end. There's not, people aren't asking you, you've got $15 million in your pocket and please give me that 50 because, you know, and then you don't have 50. You can take out that hope and it overflows by the power of the Holy Spirit. There's no end. And in fact, I believe the more you're going to give, that overflowing will just continue in your life and you won't feel like you are a well that's run dry. So can I ask this morning, even before I close off, Adrian, you can just come up for us. Just two sit together and just declare that hope over the person next to you. Just start declaring, and if you feel that you are at a place of hopelessness, I truly believe that God will send you home with that hope. And if that's where you're finding yourself, even at home, just start focusing on God this morning and asking him, saying, Lord, I don't experience it, I don't feel it, but Lord, I thank you that your word is truth, and I declare that your hope will start being my anchor. And this week, as I tackle it, I'm trusting, Lord, that I'm going to find that settled place in my heart, that place that is filled with hope. So as Adrian just starts playing music, just sit two together and just engage each other. As I said, that fellowship, where do you find yourself? Is it a place of hopelessness? And do you need God to really step into that situation of your life? Because you just say, I'm literally at the end of my road. And I trust that church will not end this morning, but as we walk out, that we can truly be the church and the light to a broken nation. And it's just saying, Lord, just send somebody that can declare that there is actually still hope left for me. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.